You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Here's the situation, though. We have, there are millions of Americans, almost all white, almost all Republicans, who somehow need to be deprogrammed. It's as if they are members of a cult, the Trumpist cult, and who have to be deprogrammed.
It's coming January the 12th, 2021. Those are the words of Washington Post columnist and contributor to MSNBC, Eugene Robinson, and said that Trump supporters are all basically a cult, and of course they're mostly all white. That is true. But again, here we go with racism, saying because you're white, you're a Trump supporter, you are bad for the nation. Period. You have no redeeming qualities. And we need to reprogram you. Re-educate you. If this doesn't sound exactly what we saw happen across Cambodia, Vietnam, North Vietnam, and of course Russia and Cuba and North Korea, I mean, how, you will go right down that list. And of course, the process also here going forward involves doing whatever can be done to weaponize the constitutional amendment. We have 8 days, 8 days remaining in President Trump's term. But the House of Representatives, under the leadership, and I use that term very, very loosely, of Nancy Pelosi, is barreling forward with a second impeachment vote to come in the coming days. And, of course, they're still talking about the 25th Amendment to remove Trump. That does require Pence to sign on. That's not going to happen. But the very fact that they think they can do it, and they should. Why? Why? Well, because they say in the articles of impeachment as filed by Congressman Cicilline, Democrat, Rhode Island, Trump has endangered the security of the United States and its institutions of government. He threatened the integrity of the democratic system, interfered with the peaceful transition of power, and imperiled a co-equal branch of government. He therefore betrayed his trust as president to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Well, endangered the security. Is anyone going to question at all now going forward Joe Biden, Hunter Biden's ties to China, as if that's a threat to our security? I'm just asking. Wasting your thought and my breath with it. And then that Trump interfered with the peaceful transition of power because of what? The riot in the Capitol? Well, that didn't affect the transition of power. It wasn't a coup. It was not even close to a coup. They weren't trying to overthrow the government. They were making noise and chaos and everything else. And the other thing, simply, if you're looking at the battle to not certify votes without a challenge, that's acceptable. The Democrats have done that before. They do not want to talk about it, but they have. But right now, we're at a point that they think we've got to just flat go after them. And in the midst of it, according to House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy of California, in a conference he had with President Trump, he says President Trump acknowledged that he bears some blame for the Capitol riot. Some blame. Now, to what extent? We don't have the exact quote, but basically he says he admitted that, yeah, there's some things he could have done differently. Well, I'm glad to see that he said that, because I said that the other day, that he could and should. But what we've got here is, again, a rush to judgment without any regards to facts, because it's Trump. And, of course, the FBI has out a bulletin that's going around that organizers, armed protests are being planned at all 50 state capitals from 16th of January through at least the 20th of January, which is Inauguration Day, and at the U.S. Capitol from 17th of January through 20 January. They say, reportedly, the group is calling for storming state, local, federal government offices in the event Trump is removed prior to Inauguration Day. If you hear of such a thing, first of all, more than likely, it's not going to happen. It's people mouthing off. And two, do not participate in it. Do nothing for it. It's a stupid farce that's just going to backfire. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. And are you ready to surrender? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930. 4930 644 4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Roxanne!
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Beware of weaponizing the Constitution, because a weapon used today against President Trump and the Republicans will be used tomorrow against the president you voted for and your party of choice. We don't get to decide whether the Constitution applies to good guys or bad guys, liberals or conservatives, progressives or regressives, Democrats or Republicans. The Constitution is an enduring document. As John Marshall, the great Chief Justice of the United States, said, it is a constitution we are expounding, a document that is intended to endure for the ages. And so Pelosi and Schumer, don't destroy our Constitution.
Those are the words of Harvard Law School professor emeritus Alan Dershowitz in his podcast. And he says, you've got Pelosi and Schumer. They are, in fact, trying to weaponize the Constitution. Well, they talk about using the 25th Amendment and actually going forward even now with the effort to impeach. They're weaponizing all of this. You know that. I know that. And they know that. They're not stupid. Yeah, you want to think they are, but they're not. They know how this game is played. They have a playbook. It has been in existence since the night Hillary called to concede. The resist movement was born at that moment. I would have loved to have been in that room, to have been in that room when it was apparent that Hillary had lost and she was going to have to make that phone call. To call and cat coughing up a hairball apology. Congratulations to Trump. That's kind of the way she probably looked at it. I wish there were also a recording of that. I really do. But apparently we don't have one. Our Trump, I assume we would have had it by now. But I would have loved to have been in the room when that became apparent and she was going to have to make that phone call. And remember, she left her group that had gathered to support, you know, celebrate with her and everything. She left them in the total dark. Total dark. Didn't bother even showing up. She now sent out later a campaign manager, something like 2, 3, 4 in the morning, whenever it was, and said, well, there's a lot still to be done. Let's go home, get some rest, come back daylight and see if things are... Well, he knew better, and they knew it too. So from that moment, the Democrats have been after Donald Trump's scalp and using everything they can. First came the Russian collusion story. Then they rushed into the quid pro quo, and of course they had everything possible they could, and it all fell short up till this election. And Dershowitz points out their candidate has won. He's going to be inaugurated on the 20th of this month. There's no sense continuing all this. And when you go to weaponizing the Constitution, as he said, beware, because it will come back to bite you in the arse. Sir, those are my words, but that's exactly what he's trying to tell them. There's a Rasmussen poll that got released yesterday. I did not get a chance to get to it. I mean, when I put this program together, I have to tell you, it's kind of akin, sometimes people say, you might enjoy sausage, but you don't want to see it being made. That's pretty much what happens here. I've got papers and documents all over the place here. And you might think, well, maybe he's organized. That's a good thought. Yeah, I might think. And Quentin comes in and says, so what do I need for some of the sound bites we're going to play in the program? I said, I'm working on it. Well, you talk about a guy that's under fire because when I throw it at him, he's got to jump, rush, and make it happen, which he does every time. But when it comes to pulling material and what goes in, what doesn't, sometimes I look back and say, I wish I had included. This is what I wish I'd done yesterday, but it's perfect again for today. As I told you a moment ago, according to Kevin McCarthy, House California Republican, House Republican leader, said that President Trump acknowledged to him he bears some blame for what happened at the Capitol Hill on the riot. Well, I think that is true. He does, and I'm glad to hear that he has done that. But that doesn't mean he encouraged it. He did not call for it. Oh, I know they'll pull up words and quotes and say it did, but that's not true. But again, just a thread that McCarthy made that remark, again, has the leftists panting with anticipation. So anything they can, again, to get Trump on the way out, and even or after he leaves office. That's why they're pushing forward for the impeachment. And they know the Senate Leader Mitch McConnell has already said, we won't even get to it until after January 20. But they still want it to be voted on then. And by that point, if they do impeach in the House, keep this play in mind. If they do vote in the House to impeach, then it goes, that's like an indictment. Then it goes to the Senate for, quote, the trial and a verdict. And at that point, the Senate will be 50-50 split. Any tie vote means the vice president will cast the tie vote and might, well, if it gets there and they try to carry it past Inauguration Day into the new Senate, well, then you could bet it, I should say you can't bet, but it's very likely that he will be officially impeached. And I don't mean indicted, I mean convicted. Is this making the country better? No, of course not. And this Rasmussen poll that I was referring to shows that Trump currently holds, despite getting widespread blame, not even reference what he had apparently said to McCarthy, shows that 48% of those surveyed still approve of Trump's job performance. 51% disapprove. Now, I don't know if the disapproval was based strictly upon what happened at the riot, or if it just has to do with overall. In the new year, his approval rose to 49% on January 7 after his rally to, quote, stop the steal to contest the presidential election, according to the poll. 49% just at that point. And now at 48% overall. And, of course, you have a lot of folks saying, well, this has wiped out his entire legacy. It has not wiped out a lot of things he's done. It has tainted it, but some of those things are still in place. But, of course, Biden will be coming in doing what he can to take the rest of it off the board if he can. One of the things, does he want to change the prison reform law and put everybody back in jail that Trump released? Probably not. Does he want to do anything he can to destroy the economy? Not really, but he will. But again, Dershowitz says, any time you turn to the Constitution to use it against a political party, well, this is something you should keep in mind.
The idea of stretching the words and creating out of the 25th Amendment a political weapon, and you think this is going to be the last time it's used, if it's used this time, forget about it. As my friends in Brooklyn say, forget about it. It will become a standard weapon, just the way framers of our Constitution were worried that if the impeachment clause were misused, it too would become a routine and normal part of our political system. No, the 25th Amendment and the criteria for impeachment were designed for specific and very designated purposes.
Again, the words of Alan Dershowitz. But again, the left still has a playbook in front of them, and it's open. And it includes various steps and tactics and X's and O's to take down Trump, even though he's leaving office and has now said there will be peaceful, orderly transition. You want to know how deep this fear, and they might actually fear it, but I think also it's just a PR stunt by them. Because they think if we say it enough, folks will begin to believe it and fear it, and they will join us. And, of course, they've got a lot of folks. They don't have to repeat it too often. Maxine Waters, Congresswoman Maxine Waters out of California, is a perfect example of someone that's basically so unhinged that we are going to destroy Donald Trump in any way we can.
I do believe that the president of the United States, Trump, has organized and worked in a way that even after he's not serving as the president, that he believes that he's going to have control over a significant population in this country that he can use to basically rule and to, basically confront whatever entity he'd like to confront that's not agreeing with him. Turn them on to other groups, et cetera. I think that he intends to exercise power even past his presidency.
What power would he have? Even while he was president, Trump had no, quote, power over me, nor over you. He was the president of the United States. And the Constitution controls what power he and our legislators have. Do they abuse it? Could they abuse it? Yes. That's the whole point. That's what Dershowitz was saying a moment ago, and we'll come back to that again, because it bears repeating. But it is at this time, I mean, we talked yesterday about beating a dead horse. How often are you going to do it? I mean, at what service? What does it do? Trump is Custer at the last stand. He is the only one standing. But they want the scalp. They want that scalp. An editorial published just yesterday by the Washington Post states this: Trump should be impeached, but that alone won't remove white supremacy from America. And describing the attack on the Capitol last week as a function of, quote, white supremacist grievances fueled by Donald Trump. That piece was written by and penned by Hillary Clinton. Full circle. Full circle, and Hillary Clinton going again. After not just Trump, but you, if you're a Trump supporter. I still want to know what they're going to say and how they're going to treat minorities who supported Trump. He got 8%+ this time, I think, of black. I need to look at that number again, maybe close to 12. 3+% on Latinos. What are they going to do about them? Are they going to reprogram them, educate, or just strike some fear in them? There's one House Democrat, by the way, that's being quoted anonymously. Anonymously, nobody wants to put their name out with this report, but apparently comes in Politico and says, Republicans will figure this out if we allow, if we go forward to try to impeach Donald Trump. He said this, what we're doing will be their favorite new tool. We're such imbeciles. We never think of the consequences. It's going to be like game on. Let's impeach Biden 12 times in a week. This House Democrat says that's what you can look for. Well, again, listen to the warning words from Alan Dershowitz.
Beware of weaponizing the Constitution, because a weapon used today against President Trump and the Republicans will be used tomorrow against the president you voted for and your party of choice. We don't get to decide whether the Constitution applies to good guys or bad guys, liberals or conservatives, progressives or regressives, Democrats or Republicans. The Constitution is an enduring document. As John Marshall, the great Chief Justice of the United States, said, it is a constitution we are expounding, a document that is intended to endure for the ages. And so Pelosi and Schumer, don't destroy our Constitution.
And there are other Democrats, including members of the Bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus, who fear impeachment could lead to more chaos and Trump, turn Trump into a martyr. And Biden, he says, I want to bring everybody together. Look at his cabinet and look what's coming from south of the border.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Quentin, you're gonna need to give me some of that whiskey from Copper Mountain Road because my computer's freezing up on me. I don't know how the Democrats do this or the leftists, but somehow or another they get into here and they get inside my computer. And what can we do to make Larry go really crazy while he's on the air? This is it. But I still have backup plans, such as I have a BS, remember? I have a BS degree, and I do know how to use BS degree. I was talking to you before we went away about look at what Biden is doing when he keeps saying he wants to bring everybody back together. He has not even taken office, obviously, and he's pledged there will be bipartisanship in D.C. going forward. Yes, it will all come together. Sing kumbaya, we'll be so happy. Have you looked at his cabinet that he's put together? Biden's promise of bipartisan cooperation, the final makeup of his cabinet, high-profile choices, departments of commerce and labor. Again, he decided to pick a couple of Democrats, a governor from Rhode Island, Boston mayor from Democrat, also going in. And that's after everyone else he's put in there. He says he's going to have bipartisan approach. Donald Trump, when he took office in 2017, he named two Democrats to his staff, Gary Cohn, former Goldman Sachs exec and Democrat donor, tapped by Trump to be director of the National Economic Council, Peter Navarro, an economist who previously run for local office in San Diego, California, as a Democrat. Appointed to serve as White House Trade and Manufacturing Czar, he still holds that position today. He has not walked away. And while they're doing that, south of the border, Guatemalan officials announcing deploying 4,000 soldiers to patrol its southern border. They're trying to stop another group of caravan immigrants from making their way north. They're trying to keep them not going into their country. and then on up into the U.S. They are basically trying to strengthen the borders they share with Mexico, Honduras, and El Salvador, part of Belize, according to the government Guatemalan spokesman. They're putting in the Salvadoran Air Force to help stop this migration. Why are all these folks willing to do this, trying to come out of the Central America and South America even, and Cuba and wherever else, if they can get somewhere in that region to go north? Well, because of what Joe Biden and the general language from the Democrats is, we don't need no stinking border. We don't need no stinking border, and it's going to be free, open border. Oh, but we are going to have to start working on a swift immigration agenda. Now, the advisors for Biden are apparently meeting even now with House Democrats, saying we got to come up with this immigration agenda and be ready. It's got to be including some form of amnesty for illegals living in the U.S. Point being made, everyone to the south of our border thinking if we can get into the U.S. before Biden becomes president, or maybe even within days or weeks after, kind of like, you know, delay the election count. We don't have to have the election decided today. Let's wait for more to come in. That if we can get inside the U.S., we will be granted amnesty with everyone else. And it's something they knew would be happening at the same time. Now they're trying to decide, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, you're going to have to say we are going to enforce the border, but they're not going to. And we are living, as you well know, and have been for some time, under a woke generation, a PC generation, where anything and everything you say, you got to check yourself before you say it. And God help you if you utter something you didn't mean and it's misinterpreted. You see a pretty woman, say, "You sure look beautiful today. How dare you?" Okay, sorry about that. And it goes beyond that. I want to discuss that and share some thoughts from a Hollywood actor, which might surprise you that this Hollywood actor is speaking out against this not only woke generation, but basically, are we ever going to forgive people again? Are we going to lose all forgiveness in our hearts? That's still to come. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, we live in this cancel culture of people erring and doing wrong, either on purpose or by accident. And there's a less forgiveness in our world.
That's right, less forgiveness. Those are the words of Bryan Cranston. You probably know him best from Breaking Bad, the teacher who turned to making meth, the TV series. His point being very simple, again, and let me repeat it for you. We live in this cancel culture of people erring, doing wrong, either on purpose or by accident, and there's less forgiveness. Our society is harder, less understanding, less tolerant, less forgiving. He's absolutely right about that. You look at what's going on right now with anyone associated with Trump, and we're going to spend more time on it in the next hour as to how they're going to say you have to be reprogrammed, reeducated. I told you the other day, and let me repeat it again because it's something that this is a klaxon, an alarm, a bell going off just like anything else. A cannonball, the fact that the political editor at ABC says getting rid of Trump is easy. Getting rid of his supporters and getting them back in line, that's going to be hard. And that's basically why we have so many at this time doing what they can to destroy Donald Trump in any way possible. Any way possible. And that means going after those who have been around him. You have Democrats right now discussing censoring Ted Cruz of Texas, Josh Hawley of Missouri, because of the Capitol protest that took place while they were trying to go through the certification of the electoral votes from the presidential election. Cruz and Hawley, by pushing forward to delay and question some of the states and so forth coming in, did not do anything illegal nor unconstitutional. The Democrats have done that themselves in the past. Barbara Boxer leading the Democrats in ancient history, the same thing. But you have Democrat senators now basically claiming that, well, Hawley and Cruz need to be censured. In other words, we don't have anything on them to really say that they condoned or encouraged violence, which they did not, of course. But we think that they should be censored. In other words, you put that word in front of their name, it's like a scarlet letter, meant to be anyway. And, of course, you've already had AOC of New York say that Cruz and Hawley should either resign or be expelled from the Senate. That's not likely to happen, so now they're saying maybe we should censor them. And Brian Cranston again, saying this cancel culture is just not good for us. I want you to hear from him again, but before I get to it, let me give you another example here. An independent women's forum analyst, Kelsey Bowler, was on Fox and Friends. Again, she's an independent women's forum analyst. And she says, canceling anyone associated with President Trump is not going to unite the country. Do you have to be told that? Does the left have to be told that? Because I think they believe it will be. But she said, this is just the latest example of cancel culture and the great purge that we're seeing come from the left and never Trump Republicans. I've got a guest in the second hour, Chris Bedford. He writes for The Federalist, a major contributor for The Federalist, and he's talking about this war that's going to now be waged on anyone that supported Trump. I don't care your color of your skin. I don't care your religion, your age, your gender, your sexual preference. You will be a victim of the war that's coming. Are you going to surrender? Are you going to fight? Now, I'm not talking about pulling out guns and starting shooting fire. That's not the point. I'm saying, are you just going to roll over and say, well, okay, I guess we deserve it. No, we don't deserve it. You have a right to your opinion just like the other side does. But again, the independent women's forum analyst, Kelsey Bowler, said, this dangerous cancel culture wants to ban any American who had the audacity to support Trump or work in his administration from being able to do something as basic as have a job. Do you think she's exaggerating? You think? Forbes magazine. The chief content officer is warning companies it may consider hiring Kayleigh McEnany, Kellyanne Conway, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and any others who work for the Trump administration. Here's what he wrote in a piece published. Let it be known to the business world. Hire any of Trump's fellow fabulists, and Forbes will assume that everything your company or firm talks about is a lie. Adding a truth reckoning, why we're holding those who lied for Trump accountable. That is right in your face, a threat, would you not say? Your livelihood. We always saw it. Remember back in the times when Sarah Huckabee was still the White House spokeswoman, and she went to with her family to dine at a restaurant, and folks realized she was there, and they heckled her and booed and attacked. Basically, she had to take her family and leave. And it's happened to other Republicans, wherever they are. Again, from Hollywood, Bryan Cranston. Now, Bryan Cranston, I want to say something to make sure you understand this. He campaigned against Trump in the most recent election. But in 2017, he also chastised his fellow liberals, saying it was wrong to wish America to fail under the president. Yeah, back in 2017, Bryan Cranston had the cojones to stand up and tell the Hollywood crowd, President Trump is not the person who I wanted to be in that office, and I've been very open about it. That being said, he is the president. If he fails, the country is in jeopardy. And it would be egotistical for anyone to say, I hope he fails. To that person, I would say, F you. Why would you want that so you can be right? See, that's where I had a parting with Rush Limbaugh when Obama came in. Limbaugh's done a lot of great things and continues. But what he said is, I hope Obama fails. Now, what he meant was, I hope some of the policies he's going to try to impart don't work and he fails. He can't get them through. But you don't want your president to fail, whoever he is. You want the country to succeed. Bryan Cranston.
My question today was, where does forgiveness live in our society? Where can we accept someone's behavior if they are contrite, if they are apologetic and take responsibility? Isn't it possible that forgiveness plays a part in that and they are welcomed back in, as opposed to creating more fences, creating more, you're out, you're in, that's it, you make one mistake, gone. You know, people, whether it's, you know, having an impulsive reaction to something and being frightened and doing something wrong and being ostracized for the rest of their lives or something, it's like, I think we need to take a second look at that and exhale and realize that asking forgiveness and receiving forgiveness are not weaknesses, but are human strengths.
I think that's powerfully stated. And it comes from someone on the left in Hollywood, willing to go out. It shouldn't have to be going out on a limb or even a plank. I mean, it should be something you could stand firmly on, that you're not in jeopardy or danger yourself because you do that. But we'll wait and see what happens with him. And how strong and how far some of this stuff is going. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, Republican, of course, strong supporter for Trump. She has been serving at the Harvard Institute of Politics. She's an alum, as her senior advisory committee. Serving at Harvard on the senior advisory committee, and rightly so, but because she has supported Trump, you know what's happening? They are now asking her to resign from the committee. And when she said, I'm not going to resign, they said, we will therefore remove you from the senior advisory committee. She fired back, said, my removal by Harvard University, quote, as a rite of passage and badge of honor. I'm glad to take it. I'll take that punishment. May I have more, sir? She's a 2006 Harvard graduate, and she's been just fine until she sided with Trump. Oh, I got another example. I got another example of this cancel culture and determination to punish anyone associated with Trump. And this next example will just have you, well, again, as I usually warn you, if you're driving your car, take a moment to pull over, because you do not want to be driving when you hear this next story. If you do, it's at your own risk and those on the road with you. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Jolene, 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 Jolene.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A woman who was trying to climb in through a window was shot and killed. That shouldn't have happened. The use of lethal force should be reserved for self-defense or protecting others when lives are in danger. Yeah, you can understand that in the midst of an event like this, a policeman would think that climbing through a window might endanger the lives of members of Congress. But to shoot lethally somebody who was engaged in such behavior just is not justified, regardless of race, regardless of politics, regardless of which side you're on or which foot the shoe is on. That's wrong.
Those are the words of Alan Dershowitz. Now, I used him earlier in the program to put some points out that I firmly believe in. And as he said, you cannot be weaponizing the Constitution. If your party does it, the other party do it. Now, I wanted to include this bite because this issue, again, about the woman shot in the Capitol the other day during the riots. We had a lot of discussion about that. And last week when I had James Herson from California on discussing it, he was firmly defending the woman that she should not have been shot. There were other options. And I wanted to hear it from Alan Dershowitz. And he's taking the same approach that James Herson did. They're both very smart guys. But I don't think either one of them has ever faced a mob and someone coming at them or been in the street making a, quote, routine traffic stop or, quote, interfering with a domestic violence situation. The reason I wanted to go back to that point is because you often will hear folks say, shoot him in the leg. We heard that from Joe Biden. Don't shoot to kill. Shoot. Well, that's not how you're trained. But the point of the woman coming through the window the other day, as Herson said, you could see her hand. She had nothing in it, but she had a backpack on. No one knew what she had in the backpack. She was about to get actually inside the House chamber where representatives were still located. If she had had an explosive device, that would have jeopardized all of them. She did not have such a device. Did not have it. But who's to know at that point? And again, it's second-guessing police officers. And, of course, often it comes into play. It becomes a civil rights issue, a race issue, and it should simply be a security issue. Security for the officer. Now, are there officers that could have found some other way? Shouldn't go. Yeah, there are times that's true, absolutely. But we have gotten so far now, and even Alan Dershowitz backing up and saying or agreeing that if the woman coming through the window should not have been shot. Well, she had numerous occasions to stop before she got to that point. Numerous occasions. She knew they had rushed past police and guards to get where they were. And they come to a barricaded door, but there's glass, and they're going to go through the window. I just had to get that off my chest again because for law enforcement out there, I feel for you because you're always going to be second-guessed and folks often have no idea what's involved. Yes, there will be complete investigation on this case, and we'll see what happens with it. All right, back to this issue of cancel culture. As we said earlier, we've got Forbes magazine warning to the business world, you hire any of the Trump people, we will assume that everything your company or firm talks about is a lie. That's from Forbes magazine. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, a Republican, being booted from the Harvard Institute of Politics because she spoke out for Trump. And then you have this. Two House representatives from California. I'm sorry, one from California, one from Texas. Listen to this statement. One of them says, I am working on a bill that would mean nothing, not even a bench. No airport, no highway, no school, nothing will ever bear the name of this traitor. She's talking about Donald Trump. Not even a park bench. You cannot even put Donald Trump bench in some facility. I'm going to make sure it's a federal law. You can't do it. A federal law that you can't do something like that. Do you think they have some angst and anger still there? I was looking at earlier some comments being made by some Republicans, and Newt Gingrich being one of them. He said the reason they're so upset and worried right now and want to impeach or whatever they can to destroy Trump further is because they fear he might rise again. They are going to make him a martyr at this rate. Oh, you got to know this, and you have to know why. CNN announcing a series of changes to its D.C. lineup. Jake Tapper is going to have his program expanded. Oh, good for Jake. Here's the key. Chief White House correspondent Jim Acosta will now switch to anchor and chief domestic correspondent. He will not be the chief White House correspondent. Why? Well, because he's been after Trump for 4 years, insulting, challenging, ambushing. And if he didn't continue that same approach with Pence, well, then the lie that they've been presenting as news would be more evident. So let's move Acosta out, put someone else in. So Pence is being treated not differently, the same, but we have a new reporter doing it. You should know. They removed Acosta from that position because he can't be the bulldog he was with Trump. Take a break when we come back. Are you ready to surrender to re-education camps? Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.